Hello, my name is Martha, and for those of you that don't know who I am, I'm a member here at St Mark's Church, and one of my jobs here is that I help out with one of our older teenager groups for people here. And I want to start by welcoming everybody here, especially the families of Noah and Isabel, and you're really welcome here this morning. Now, I want to talk to you about this Bible passage that we just read out, because it felt quite complicated when I read it earlier. And so I want to explain about what it talks about and about the curtain it talked about ripping and the Holy of Holies and what all that means. Has anybody here ever been to a book signing at Waterstones or other book places are available? Anyone? Yes, Lorraine has. Someone has. Cool. I went to a book signing a few years ago for an author called Terry Deary. Has anyone ever heard of Terry Deary? Young people and teachers probably will have done. He is a massive hero of mine from when I was quite small, and he has written a load of books. Can anyone shout out the books that he's written? Horrible Histories. Yes, I am massively obsessed with history because of Terry Deary, because he was an absolute hero of mine when I was a kid. And I have now foisted that love of history onto my poor children because I'm obsessed with Terry Deary. So when I heard that he was at Waterstones having his book signed a few years ago, I decided that my son really wanted to go and that I would have to accompany him. So we did. And I don't know whether you've ever been to, I mean, Waterstones in Bluewater is kind of at the end of the long concourse of all the shops. And if you're queuing up for a book signing, you're not allowed in because the people are in there preparing and they're getting the table ready and they're getting all the backdrop ready with all the posters and they're doing everything special. And you're all kind of queuing up outside along the barriers. And if it's a really special author, sometimes the queue will go kind of all the way down one side and then turn around and go all the way up the other side. And it takes forever. You have to be very patient and you have to really want to get that book signed to queue up there. So we went and I took my son and we wore comfortable clothes because we knew we were going to have to be sitting on the floor for a long time. We bought snacks and also we'd bought the book that we wanted to get signed. And it was a long process, but finally they opened the doors of Waterstones. We were quite near the front of the queue, which was great, but meant that we had been there for about an hour and a half. And so the door opens and we shuffle forward and someone gets their book signed and we shuffle forward and someone. And then I was kind of in my head thinking of all the things I was going to tell Terry Deary about how he was my hero when I was a kid and how he had given me this lifelong love of history and how I had passed it on to my children. And we get to the table and actually I'm like, can you sign my book, please? Thank you very much. Bye. And that was my meeting with Terry Deary. But it was so worth it because we got book signed. So going back to this passage, back in the times when this was written, there was a massive temple in the middle of Jerusalem. And I don't know whether you've seen pictures of Jerusalem nowadays. There's where this temple stood is where there's this massive building with a big golden dome on it now. But back in the time when this was written, that would have been a massive Jewish temple. And this temple was for everybody. The outside bits, everybody could go into. There was Jewish people, Gentiles, who were the people who weren't Jews, men, women, the disabled, the able-bodied. Everybody was welcome in this bit in the outside. And then the further you went into the temple, the more exclusive it got. So you went further in and then it was only men allowed in there. And then you went further in and it was only priests. And then you went further in and it was only the high priest. And then you went right into the middle, and there was this place that was described in the passage called the Most Holy Place. Now, there was a place just outside that called the Holy Place. Now, that wasn't the Most Holy Place. Inside the Holy Place was this massive curtain, which was, it says that it was the thickness of a man's hand, this curtain. So I'm assuming it wasn't that way, it was that way, I think. But that's a pretty thick curtain. And behind this curtain was this place called the Most Holy Place. Now, this place, you couldn't go in it unless you were the high priest. You were only allowed to go in one day a year, and that was called the Day of Atonement, which was the day when the high priest went in and said sorry to God for all the things the people had done. you had to, this high priest would have had like a special washing ritual to get ready to go in. He had to wear special clothes and he had to take the blood of a goat with him. So all of these things had to happen before this priest could go into this bit. And this was where God's spirit dwelt. This is where God was. And it, you had to be so exclusive to be able to get in there. Now, this passage, I'm going to read it out of a version of the Bible called the Message Version, which is just a slightly different translation that just makes it a bit easier to understand. And it says, "So, friends, we can now, without hesitation, walk right up to God, into the holy place. Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, acting as our priest before God. The curtain into God's presence is his body." Now, it says in the stories of when Jesus died in the Gospels that the moment he died, this curtain, this massive thick curtain, ripped in two. And that really was like a literal symbol of the fact that God wasn't in this little holy exclusive place anymore. God was everywhere. God was for everyone. And actually, that's what this Bible verse is talking about. When Jesus died, that curtain ripped in two. And we don't have to be perfect to come to Jesus anymore. We don't have to wash in a certain way. We don't need to be a priest. We don't need to wear special clothes. We don't need to be anything that the world considers special to come to God. And we can just admit that we mess up all the time and just ask God to be with us. It's like jumping that massive queue in Waterstones and just walking right up to the door and handing your book to Terry Deary and getting him to write it there and then. We don't need to do anything special anymore, and everybody is welcome. And now Saju is going to come up and do some special things. So, just to recap, it used to be that the chief rabbi was the only one who was deemed good enough to enter the Holy of Holies and spend time with God. And now, because Jesus died for us, not one of us is any better than the next person. And we all have access to God and all are welcome. And whether we have been a Christian 5 minutes or for 50 years, God doesn't have some hierarchy of who he loves the most. And this might be one of the first times you've been in church. It might be that you were born here and raised here. But I want you to know that today God is as overjoyed when he looks at you as he is when he looks at someone who has been here all their lives. And actually, one of my favourite Bible verses is in the Old Testament, in the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 17, and it says that God rejoices over you with singing. And actually, if you go back to the Hebrew that was written in, the original language, the actual translation of that says that he spins around when he looks at you because he's so overjoyed with you. So literally, for every single person in this room, God looks at you and spins around like a spinning top because he's so excited, because he loves you so much, which I think is amazing. So parents and godparents, today you might feel like you've agreed to some stuff that's going to be really hard to live up to. And actually, don't worry, because as we've just seen, that curtain that separated us from God has been ripped in two. And he's the one who's come towards us. And he's the one who's made that step and made it easier for us to come to him. And you have promised that you are going to take a step towards Jesus, and that you've asked him to help you parent and raise these children. And I know that he is going to do that. And what just happened on stage wasn't like a magic trick or anything. I'm not saying, sadly, that Noah and Isabel are going to wake up tomorrow morning and go, "Mother, Father, I have decided that from this day forward I will sleep through the night and I will never rub food in my hair or have a tantrum." If only that were true. But actually, you are the people who are close to Noah and Isabel, and they are going to be watching you as they grow up. And they are going to see you do some really inspiring things, and they are going to see you make some mistakes. And actually, regardless of which of those is outnumbered by the other, or vice versa, today you have chosen to take a step towards Jesus, and he makes everything right. And that you've made that decision, that you are going to give it a go, and you won't regret it.